on the phone now, Keith Ledbetter, who is the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Michigan Infrastructure and Transportation Association. Good evening, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. A little jet lag from a trip to Washington, but feeling pretty good overall to start a big weekend.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. I happened to get in touch with you yesterday as you just landed back in Detroit from this foray to Washington. Were you able to set the folks in Washington straight on what we need in Michigan?
Well, I guess that's a good question. I'm not sure about that. We use it as an opportunity every year to go to Washington to tell our story and tell them particularly what's going on in the world of infrastructure in Michigan, and just give them a little bit of insight that maybe they didn't have before.
Well, and insight is a good word for it. I'm reading through reports that were forwarded to me and some, and it's very concerning. They're looking at cutting the infrastructure budget for the state of Michigan federally, if I'm understanding correctly, from about $1 billion to about $637 million. These are huge dollars we're talking about.
You're right, and what you're specifically referring to is the highway budget. The Ryan proposal that much of us have heard about in all of the budget areas, but particularly in transportation, we're going to see a major hit of about 40%. And we went to Washington wondering whether this is just some saber-rattling or whether Congress is serious about this. And unfortunately, in our trip to Washington, we got the feeling that, at least in the House of Representatives, that they're serious about cutting the highway funding by 40% for Michigan next year.
Now, as you're sitting having discussions with these folks in Washington about this kind of these kinds of cuts, how is this discussion going? What is their reasoning for these drastic cuts? Have we seen cuts like this in recent memory?
I've only been doing this for 5 years, but I've never seen anything like it or heard anything about it in my history working in politics of 20 years. This is very significant. As you know, in Washington right now, there's a lot of talk about the fact that we need to balance our budget. What our message was to legislators is that you're not saving money by not investing in infrastructure. Ultimately, you're going to pay those costs, whether it's now into the future, and what you're doing is putting those costs off to future generations. So the same argument that they have that we can't deficit spend anymore certainly comes into play as it relates to infrastructure, that you have to invest each and every year so that we don't have to send that on to our kids and grandkids.
And I was just going to say, I'm certain their argument was, is look, Keith, you're a great guy, but we don't have the money.
Absolutely. What I would say, though, is that there's some areas of the federal government and the state government that are absolutely critical, and infrastructure is one of those. There's a lot of things that they do that are optional, but infrastructure isn't one of them. It's like if the roof is leaking on your house, you can avoid that repair, but over time it's going to be exacerbate, and it's going to get more and more pricey to fix that that leaking roof. Well, that's the situation with our roads and bridges and with our water and sewer lines. As you know, I was on your program not all that long ago talking about how 15 billion gallons of sewage got dumped into our lakes, rivers, and streams in the first 4 months of this year. And so we wanted to share that message with Congress to let them know that these are the things that are going on, and if you don't fund these areas appropriately, we're going to see a continued degradation of our environment. In the case of our highways, the inability of our drivers to drive on roads that are worthy of our driving on.
And when we're talking about infrastructure and the pollution and so forth you're talking about there, it's just kind of come time to pay that bill, hasn't it, with the infrastructure crumbling and just being old?
Well, you know, I actually served on the Holt School Board for 4 years, several years ago, and one of the things that we knew is that we had to replace about 5 school buses a year, and if we didn't do that, then the next year we would have to do double that amount. So what we recognize as part of the natural budgeting process that you have to recognize that this is the fixed cost associated with this program, and if you want to maintain the water and sewer lines, if you want to maintain the highways, you have to pay on an ongoing basis. So they're not really doing taxpayers any service. In fact, they're going to cost us a lot more money by forcing these repairs on future generations.
Well, and I'm thinking, too, that these repairs are not going to not only be put off and have to be made anyway, but they're going to get more expensive down the line, too.
Absolutely. What we see is that the problems with our infrastructure only exacerbate with time and without the appropriate maintenance on them. So we're not doing ourselves any favors. There's an old adage that says that you pay for good roads rather whether you have them or not. And certainly that's going to be true here in Michigan.
Are other states facing these same deep cuts federally?
Yes, actually, according to this budget proposal. And again, what we're telling Congress is that we understand the need to get spending in line. We have no qualms about that. But what we say is that infrastructure is just one of those core areas of government that shouldn't see those type of cuts. So we were imploring them, and frankly, we had a lot of sympathy. You know, the Democrats were particularly sympathetic, and a number of the Republicans, too, said, you know, it should be a priority area for us. But what we said to the Congress people is that we can't be treated like an entitlement program. This is not an entitlement. This is a core function of government in which it's very essential that Congress fund.
And you kind of just alluded to where I wanted to go next. Do we have supporters in Washington, or do we have folks there who understand the need for this, or going to try to help us change the percentages of cuts?
Cheryl, if you can imagine, we had 17 meetings with the Michigan congressional delegation in one day. So what we did is we split up in two different groups. I'll tell you that one of the meetings that I probably liked the best was U.S. Senator Carl Levin. That's a guy that even though he represents 10 million people, seems to always have time for us when we come to Washington. And he spent probably about 20, 25 minutes with our delegation, and he's very, very gracious with his time, and we appreciate that. And what he said is that the Senate is going to act as a firewall, that they're not going to allow those type of cuts to go through the U.S. Senate with the House budget that's been proposed. But what they also said is, unfortunately, the House has a lot of leverage in this, because when the budget bill comes to the end, when safety lieu expires at September 30th, then they can exact some fairly significant cuts if they want to get an extension, if the Senate wants to get an extension. So he's concerned that as that time approaches, that he could be held to the fire a little bit. But he says that any significant cuts that the U.S. Senate will not support.
Am I correct that, well, what concerns me is, as we're having this conversation, it sounds like we can not only not afford these cuts for, we're not talking about filling potholes here. It sounds like we're talking about health and safety of our citizens.
Well, when you're talking about a 40% cut, it's so dramatic that we're going to see the effects of that in terms of our ability to have safe roads and safe bridges, and it's disconcerting. And what we find also is that these cuts, once they're implemented, become the new normal, where then from here on out, where we get an increase of 2% next year, but we'd received a 40% cut the year before, and we're supposed to be thankful for those type of funds. And the reality is that we can't allow this to be the new normal. We have to make sure that Congress recognizes that they need to support this. And what the congressmen tell us is that, look, help us. Go back home. Help sell this message. The people need to know that this is what's going on. So, frankly, I look forward to coming on your show to talk about these things, because even in Congress, they want the public to be aware of these things. So then it gives them a little bit of cover when they support these.
So that easily leads to the next natural question is when we say, what can we do, get a hold of, lobby our own congressmen and folks in Washington?
Absolutely. They need to know that we care. They need to know that it's not acceptable for us to be flushing our toilets and those that water ending up in our lakes, rivers, and streams. They need to know that we're concerned about the condition of our highways, that when we hit swerve amidst potholes, that that's not acceptable, and that, frankly, infrastructure is a core function of government. And if they hear from enough people, they'll say, okay, I recognize that this is an area that my constituents feel very strongly about, so this is going to be a priority of mine. But without that public support, they're likely to treat infrastructure just like they're treating every other area of the state budget, or the state and federal budget.
Well, Keith, as always, I appreciate your expertise and your being willing to share it with us on the show. Have a wonderful, safe Memorial weekend.
Well, thank you. You as well. I'm glad that I could join you tonight.
Okay. Thank you so much, as always, Keith.